I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence. This time, we're going to do it a little bit different. There's no guest this week. There's not a whole lot going on. We just wrapped up the combine. And so Tyler and I thought it's the perfect time to go through and do a first-round mock draft. We're going to go team by team. We're going to see what's there, what's available. Might be some trades involved. And we're going to really slow play this and play it out as logically as we can. And we're going to do it based on what we think these players' values are and where we think that they should go in this year's 2024 draft. Tyler, have you ever done one of these before?
I have not, and I'm excited to work through it. This is the season of hope. And so at every position, especially in the first round, you can sell yourself on the fact that you might be drafting a Hall of Famer. And I'm excited for all the feedback that is invariably going to come here, telling us that we drafted the wrong guy. This is not the type of player this team needs. We're probably going to get a lot of feedback, but we're just going based off of what we think is going to be best for the team and the situation.
Yeah. And one of the things that I truly believe in is, like, my philosophy is you got to draft the best available player. I don't think that reaching for needs is a good recipe for long-term success. So I'm going to base this as much as possible on that, knowing that there will be teams that reach. Like, that's just a part of the game. But as far as my philosophy goes, and from some trusted scouts in the scene, that seems to be, like, known to be the bread and butter for really good teams. So without further ado, we're going to go into PFF. We're going to mock this up. We're going to go select all teams. We're going to enter the draft, and we're going to start this thing off hot. So we have the Chicago Bears. This is, like, what are the Bears going to do? Are they going to keep Justin Fields? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to take Caleb Williams? Some people think they might take Jaden Daniels number one. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they should do that personally, but I just don't think that they're going to do that. I think they're going to grab a guy like Caleb Williams that, you know, he seems to have such a high ceiling across the board if he can clean his game up some. And my first opinion is that they're going to take him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to know what your thoughts on this Justin Field dialogue is. It seems like online there have a lot of Justin Fields defenders have come out, and you started to see that at the end of last year when the Bears went on that little run between week 11 and week 16 where they strung together a couple of games, and it seems like that totally shifted the narrative on who Justin Fields is as a player. And now you hear him rumored to go to all these teams that need a quarterback. Where do you land on it? Because that seems like the ultimate question here. It's not whether or not they like Caleb. It's how do we feel about Justin Fields?
Yeah. So my, like, truthful analysis of all this is that Justin Fields can play. Has he played his best football yet? I don't believe so. I mean, we talked to Kurt Warner last week, and somebody like Kurt Warner didn't even have his first NFL start until he was 28 years old. And I'm not a mathematician by any means, but let's check Justin Fields' age.
He just turned 25, actually, this last
Justin,
week.
Justin Fields just turned 25 this past week. Was tweeted on their Instagram account, by the way. I don't know if they'd be tweeting happy birthdays on the Instagram account if they're about to trade him in a couple weeks.
Do you see that Jaguars player that got tweeted happy birthday? I mean, you know, those personnel in the social media department, I'm sure, are not in lockstep.
100%. So let's put it into perspective. Justin Fields just turned 25. Guys like Kurt Warner, other guys even around the league, haven't even played a single game of football until 28, 26, 27. Like, I think that there are teams out there that look at Justin Fields and see his ceiling as a runner, see what he can do as a passer, see the things he can clean up. And if I'm the Bears GM, dude, I'm trading away that number one pick. I'm going to get a massive haul because I don't think that they are a quarterback away from competing in the NFC North. I think they are a few big key pieces away from doing that. And so for me, I think we can go about this two ways. We can either take the consensus Caleb Williams with the number one pick, think they're going to trade Justin Fields, or we can start this thing off with a bang and say, look, what if the Bears trade away the number one overall pick? What are they going to get? Yeah. And what's their team going to look like? What do you think?
I guess this is a matter of, like, do we want to do it where Kurt Benkert is the GM here, or do we want to do it where Kurt Benkert is the genie in the bottle trying to predict what other GMs are going to do? It might be interesting to have you act as GM for every team as they come up.
Each team?
I mean, it might get us to a more interesting spot.
Okay, let's do that. We're going to start from, if I was the GM of each of these teams, and again, I don't know everything about every single player. Huge disclaimer. I do not know everything about every single team. I know a lot about quarterback play. I know a lot about receiver play. And I think I have somewhat of an idea of what good teams look like. So I'm going to go with this very first one. We're going to trade away this number one overall pick. We're going to drop back a few slots. Also knowing we have the number nine pick coming up. That's actually a thing that's available. Two top 10 picks. I think you can get more. Now, who do I think is going to get it? I think that one of the teams willing to trade up could be the Commanders, could be the Patriots, could be the Giants even. I could see the Giants trading up. I could see the Titans trading up, Falcons. I could see a lot of these action-packed teams trading up. Now, PFF is only going to give us the option to trade with Arizona Cardinals, New York Jets, the Seahawks, and the Bills. So I really think of any of these teams, if they're going to trade up, I think the Giants are going to be the team to trade up. Something's just telling me.
Well, you hear reports that the Giants, the front office, the coaching staff, not in love with Daniel Jones. I don't think that stuff comes out if there isn't a lot more than just a couple whispers in MetLife that Daniel Jones is not the guy. And I think we probably know that anyway, but looks like here they move up and they get their quarterback of the future.
100%. And I think a team, again, if I'm the GM of the Bears, I'm looking to trade back. I don't think we need a quarterback with the number one pick. I think we need to trade that, keep our quarterback, maybe even go into free agency and grab a quarterback. I don't know. There's other options, or maybe even draft one a little bit later. I'm not sure. But I think that the Bears need to get out of that pick. I really do think they need to keep Justin Fields. I don't think that they win this year with a young, young quarterback, not with Caleb Williams. That's my opinion. So starting from here, we're going to take their sixth pick. We're going to take their 39th pick. We're probably going to take their first round pick next year. And I know we can't take other players, but I don't really know what the whole package looks like. What did the package look like last year for the
Panthers pick?
Panthers trade for number one overall. Let's see. What did they trade? They traded the ninth pick and the 61st pick. They traded the next year's first round pick, and they traded the next year's second round pick. So for all intents and purposes, we're going to go 6, 39, round one, and we'll go.
And don't forget DJ Moore. DJ Moore was thrown into that trade too.
My God, I don't think anyone's that stupid to give up that much for the number one pick. So we're going to go Giants. They're going to go first and second, first and third of the next year. And we're going to force this trade. So the New York Giants are on the clock. And now with that, I think that the Giants go with somebody like Caleb Williams. I think they're going to go, they're going to try to trade up. They're going to draft Caleb Williams, number one overall, and we're going to take him. And that leaves the Commanders. We have the Commanders who, putting on my GM hat, they have a lot of holes. They have holes way deeper than quarterback, in my opinion. I do think, though, that there is one guy on this board that there's three guys for this pick, and there's a few different philosophies. One, you can keep Sam Howell. You can go into the season with Sam Howell. He threw for a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. He also had some boneheaded plays, but he also played for a bad team. Like, they were really bad last year. And I think that they can win football games with Sam Howell if he cleans up his act, if he doesn't turn over the ball. But I also think you're looking at the other guy that is available that should be the number one overall pick in this draft class if Caleb Williams wasn't in it. And I think that they are going to have to take Jaden Daniels. I think he's a fit for what they do. I think he's a fit for that division, playing against the Giants, playing against Cowboys, playing against the Eagles. Like, I think they need a little more juice to be competitive in that division. And I think Jaden Daniels gives them that. I also think, like, he probably ends up starting day one, but he doesn't have to necessarily if you have Sam Howell. They might end up trading Sam Howell, but we'll see. I think that Jaden Daniels goes number two overall. I know we have some people that talk about Drake May, talk about all these other quarterbacks, talk about, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think that this new regime with Dan Quinn, they're going to go get a quarterback that can elevate them to another level. And I think they're going to take Jaden Daniels. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, you mentioned a couple other hypotheticals. If they keep Howell, you know, do you think there's a world where maybe they get him a playmaker on the outside like Marvin Harrison? It really doesn't seem like they're going to go to that direction, but you'd have to think if they decided on keeping Howell, they would have to get a playmaker for him.
Yep. I agree. And so I think we're in a consensus here. If somehow the number one pick gets traded to Caleb Williams, I think the Commanders are up next and they're going to have to take their quarterback. I think Jaden Daniels is a guy for them that they can have for, obviously, hopefully, their career. He can be that guy. He can be the guy that everyone thought RG3 was going to be. I think he's a better passer coming out of college. Hopefully he can stay healthy. But I think, like, new coach, new regime, I think they can do it, man. And also, Adam Peters is their new GM. He came from San Francisco. He's not opposed to taking quarterbacks top five. He took Trey Lance there with John Lynch. Like, he was a part of that regime that took Trey Lance. They're not afraid to go swing. So I'm going to go Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. And now we have a really, really important decision here. So the Patriots. We talk about the Patriots very similarly to how I think we talk about the Bears. Honestly, how we talk about some of these other teams. They're way more than a quarterback away from being competitive. They have to compete with the Jets, the Bills. They have to compete with the Dolphins. And I don't think that the Patriots are in a place to take a number three overall pick and not get more draft capital for it. Like, I just, if I'm the Patriots, I'm looking at trading back again. And again, for me, I'm a huge, huge believer in trading back in the top 10. If you don't have a guy that you absolutely love, especially when you look at other teams down there, that what are they looking for? You're looking at the Cardinals. They look like they need a receiver. The Chargers, they're probably going to want a receiver. The Bears for sure are going to want a receiver, and they have two other top 10 picks. And then you have the Titans, absolutely need a receiver. I think that for the Patriots, they should trade back with the Cardinals if that's going to be available. Let's see. Teams interested in trading. Oh, it doesn't look like they want the Cardinals to trade. What do you think?
I think as you bring this up, there's a report that comes out from Tony Pauline that says, if the New England Patriots are at three and Drake May is on the board, Jaden Daniels is not available, that they are looking to trade out. There's apparently a lot of teams, the Patriots being one of them, that aren't too high on Drake May at number three. And it seems like if things go, regardless of the order, I know we have the Giants trading up here, but it seems like Williams and Daniels are going to go. And it seems like there might be a bigger gap between those two guys with Drake May than, you know, some people might have thought, at least coming into this draft season.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I honestly think that at this point, you have to look at some of these other guys. Like, I think Marvin Harrison could be third to go. I think nobody's going to take a tight end top five. Like, I don't think that'll happen. I know Kyle Pitts did go top 10 or whatever it was, but I don't think anybody's going to reach for that. I look at a guy like Joe Alt. I think Joe Alt's worth the top five pick. I think that there's some guys down on this list, man, that just can make a team better. But I look at the Patriots and, like, again, the Patriots are, they're a team that need to trade out. If any of these teams in the top five are going to trade out, it's going to be the Patriots. So I'm looking at Patriots. Let's see who they can trade with. Maybe somebody like, I don't know. I can't see your options here.
I mean, the Cardinals could move up.
It's not showing up. Weird.
Yeah, no, it's not showing up. The Cardinals could move up. Maybe they want to make sure they get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Could you see somebody like the Falcons move up to secure a quarterback? I don't know how they're feeling about Drake May, but it seems like maybe the domino that would fall before there would be Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. Yeah. So maybe that's not super likely. And then you start to get into these teams outside of the top 10, Minnesota coming to mind, where, you know, Denver, even teams that need quarterbacks. You have sort of a run of three there between Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders that all theoretically need quarterbacks. Moving up to number three would be a big leap, but maybe you could see it happen.
I definitely could see it happen. I think that is, like we said, that's a big leap. I honestly think with where they are, I think the Patriots, if they don't trade out, they're going to take Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
I think they're going to take Marvin Harrison if they don't trade out. And again, we don't know their quarterback situation. They're going to probably address it in this draft. They're at least going to get one, if I had to guess, but I think that they're going to go and get a staple of a guy who's played in cold weather. If they do not trade out, I think Marvin Harrison is probably the third best. I love Adunze, by the way, but let's go. We're going to take Patriots. And again, they don't have as much time as we just did to make this pick. So we're going to go draft Marvin Harrison to the Patriots.
And who knows? Maybe it's like, it's like a changing of the guard too in New England. Mm-hmm. You see this happen with NFL franchises a lot where there's an overcorrection, and not that taking a generational guy like Marvin Harrison or potentially generational guy like Marvin Harrison is overcorrecting, but you would never see this under the Bill Belichick Patriots, them drafting number three overall, taking a wide receiver. Maybe they want to correct back the other way and say, we're going to start this rebuild with a really solid guy here at wide receiver position.
Yeah, I agree with that, dude. So I like it. I think like they have to have a splash. When's the last time they had like a real splash at receiver? I mean, it's probably...
Oh, man. I mean, like, I think back to Randy Moss, like, but that's free agency.
Randy Moss. Yeah, Randy Moss was like the only guy. And I think, look, the thing with Marvin Harrison, I think Adunze might even have a higher ceiling, maybe. Marvin Harrison is the cleanest receiver in this draft, technician-wise. He's obviously been groomed from the time he was a child. But he's like the safest, surefire top five receiver in this draft. So I think like they got to go and like, I think the Patriots owe the fans one, honestly. Like, I think the Patriots owe the fans something at this point in time. So,
and the fans are never going to discredit you for taking the consensus number one guy at that position. Nobody's going to look back at this, even 5 years from now, if Harrison doesn't work out, and say, we should have drafted the other guy. Cause there is no other guy. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. And everybody else.
No, I agree. I agree with that. So now we have the Cardinals. So the Cardinals, like, I look at them this way, and these are the two things that I'm thinking about in this draft for the Cardinals. They need receivers. Like, they've got to have receivers. But keep in mind, it's also a super, super deep receiver class. I think there's some crazy value to be had in second, third, and fourth round. Like, maybe even deeper than that. Probably the deepest receiver class of all time. I know that things are changing, projections are changing, all this and that, but I think they're going to get a receiver later. I don't think they're going to reach here for a receiver. I think that they have other problems, obviously, with their offensive line. That's their big one. Kyler Murray's their guy. They're committed to him. So go show that you're committed to him by getting a tackle. Go get Joe Alt. I know that he is, what, ADP number 7, ranked number 6, whatever. But as far as like best on the board right now, I don't look at Drake May as a top 10 player at all. I think Malik Nabers actually, and this is probably not adjusted for combine, I don't think Malik Nabers is the consensus number 2 anymore. Brock Bowers is a stud, but you should never take a tight end top 10, in my opinion. I think Adunze is that other guy that could go, that should go top 10, is probably creeping up some of these draft boards. You got Cooper DeJean, ballin', Byron Murphy, ballin'. I think they're going to go Joe Alt. That's just what my gut's saying. I think if the Cardinals have a stud, surefire offensive lineman, they're going to go lock him up. And again, Kyler Murray, they're saying he's the guy for the long term. Even if he's not, they need an O-lineman. Like, they need more O-lineman. So what do you think here before I hit draft?
I mean, I just love how it works in the draft, where you have a lot of teams at the top who need quarterbacks, and you have a really deep quarterback class. You also have a really deep wide receiver class. And those are two of the most fun positions to talk about in the context of NFL drafts. You think in any other year, Joe Alt might just be the number one consensus overall pick. Everything people say about this guy is he's a physical freak. I mean, he might be one of the surest things that you can do in this top 10. But since we have all these exciting positional players going ahead of him, he doesn't really get talked about here. But you could see at the fourth position, I mean, he could end up being one of the best players out of this draft, just someone we didn't talk a lot about because he plays on the offensive line.
You know, you look at like the division that they play in, like that division, you need good O-linemen. You're going to play against the 49ers twice a year. You're going to play against the Rams defensive line twice a year. Like, you have got to show up. And I think Kyler Murray has shown you that he can get it done with less than ideal playing situations, with a less than ideal roster. So go give him something that is a checked box, something you don't even have to think about when you drop back. You know that side's going to be locked down. Again, assuming Joe Alt converts to the NFL the way that we all think he should, he's a stud. I think that you can, if you're the Cardinals and you were to take any of these other players on this board right here, while Joe Alt's available, knowing what your needs are, you'd probably be like, damn, like, now we really got to go find an O-lineman. You know what I mean? So the other thing about offensive linemen is one really, really good offensive lineman can elevate the rest of the O-line, because you're allowed to now slide your protection to the other side away from these guys that can lock things down one-on-one. So I look at a really, really, really good offensive lineman is kind of like 1.5 to 2 players worth on the field. So you look at a guy like Trent Williams, you can run behind him whenever you need to. You can slide the protection away from him. He has been money, and I think we're seeing some comps there. So Cardinals, you're no longer on the clock. You're taking Joe Alt.
Love it. I think it comes back to best available too. I mean, you see those guys ahead of him. Are they better than him? I mean, obviously you don't need a quarterback, but best available guy, I don't think you go wrong there.
All right. So Chargers, I'm looking at you Chargers. You have some needs. You need a running back, assuming that Eckler's gone. Who knows? Probably gone. I'd assume so. He's gone. I actually spoke to him at the Super Bowl and saw him, and he was very unassured of what he wants to do, or not what he wants to do. He was very unassured of what will happen. He did not close the door on a return, but sometimes you get in those situations, and I feel like a fresh start is what both sides need.
Mm-hmm.
You look at him, and he didn't have the best year last year. He still was super productive when he was healthy, but I think change of scenery is good for both sides, and I think this could be a time when we get a change of scenery. So that's one part, but you're obviously not going to take a running back with top five pick. Obviously, that's probably never going to happen again. But I'm looking at them, and they drafted Johnston, right? And he had a rough stretch. Did they draft him last year? Was he a rookie last year?
Yeah, 2023, 21st overall pick.
And took a receiver with the 21st overall pick. I don't think it's like over for him. I think that he can develop. I think that, like, look, he had a game where he actually looked like an okay receiver when Easton Stick was playing. But I think that he was stuck in a bad culture, bad situation, all of that. And I don't think it was really prime for him as a rookie to make it happen. But now you have this draft class who we keep saying is super loaded at receiver. And I think that the Chargers are going to take a receiver here. I think I know we've seen some mocks with Joe Alt. I think Joe Alt's going to be off the board. I think obviously Cardinals are going to take him, in my opinion, or they should. But if I'm the GM, look, you have Keenan Allen, who's getting older. You have Mike Williams coming off an ACL, who's also old. You have Johnson, who's unproven. Like, you need firepower to compete. And I think one of the things with Justin Herbert is he doesn't have that, like, home run guy. You have Keenan Allen, who can get you a lot of targets underneath, but you don't have that, like, Ja'Marr Chase. You don't have that Justin Jefferson. And I think the other guy in this draft that can be him is Rome Odunze. He, in my opinion, is wide receiver 1B in this draft class. And the things that he can do, the way that he plays, we've seen him comp his own self to Davante Adams, which I've also seen on tape and have said on Twitter. Shout out to being early to the party. But I actually think that Odunze is going to go here. And if he doesn't go here, I think he's going to go to Chicago in the next pick. So knowing in this mock draft version, say Chicago trades out, we don't think Chicago is going to take a quarterback, meaning the next up thing that they would take is a receiver. I think that it's going to be a little bit of a run on receiver here. And I think that the Chargers should go with Odunze, who's my wide receiver too. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's difficult when it's nice to be on the start of the run of the wide receivers. We've talked about it.
You get the one you want.
When you get the one you want. And then when everybody else starts taking the guys that they think they need to take just because they're going to be gone, you look back historically in drafts and that, like, pick 20 to the end of the first round, it seems like you draft some horrible wide receivers and then you find your gems later on in the draft anyway. So I think you got to go get the guy you want here. I've heard a lot of people like you, Kurt, talk about Rome in a similar way, like this 1B fashion. Where do you think the drop off is in receivers? If you had to guess, like, when teams are going to be reaching a little bit, do you think is there a big gap between Rome and Malik Nabers, or does it happen between them?
Yeah, I actually think that the gap between those two isn't as large. I do think it's larger than people say, though. I think Nabers is good. Nabers is a really good field receiver, and he's made some really good plays. He's got, like, good enough technique, but I don't see Nabers as the guy that's just, like, climbing out the gym and doing, like, Justin Jefferson type of things. He's, like, really clean, really productive. He's pretty shifty. He can get away from you if he gets open. But I think Odunze is more of, like, a wow guy. I think Nabers is more of, like, he just makes plays everywhere. And I think that's a similar thing, but they're different. Like, they're different in their own right when you're looking at their tape side by side. But I think the drop-off happens after those two. And so I could see a little 1-2 going here, which is what I'm predicting right now. What I'm looking at with the Chargers is, like, what do they already have? They already have the slot guy. They already have guys that can work across the middle of the field. They got a good tight end. They got Keenan Allen, who I believe will still have some production over the next few years, one to 2 years with them. Like, they don't need a Malik Nabers who's 6 foot 200. I think that they need a Rome Odunze who's 6'3", 216, can go up and make plays. And you got to think of who they play in their division too. Like, the Raiders have a good defense. They got pretty good DBs. They got DBs that can contest and that can isolate guys one-on-one and pretty much shut them down when they're playing their best ball. They had a lot of interceptions late in the year, this and that. Then you look at the Chiefs, they're DBs, right? Like, we talk about it all the time. We know Snead, who knows what's going to happen, but Like you need a guy that can be an X factor at receiver. And Keenan Allen is that guy kind of, but he's older. He is hurt a lot. They need that. Like, and I think that's what they're missing. And then who else do we have in the AFC West? We have the Broncos who, again, defense, Surtain, like they, and again, he might be on the trade block. Broncos are selling the house, but I think you need to match up with that. And they really didn't have that guy, and they weren't able to just like get those huge explosive plays from one-on-one coverage. They had to craft things up, and Herbert had to scramble. But I think they need a guy here that can change games and can be that X factor. And Adunze, to me, is that next guy that could be a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, one of those types of guys. So I'm going to say the Chargers go receiver here, and they take Adunze. And I think that their fan base would erupt, because when they see what he's done, if they're not familiar, they're going to be really excited about it, especially after the disappointment with their last first-round draft pick at receiver.
Love it.
Let's go. Adunze, welcome to the squad. All right, now we got to flip the hat, put back on the Chicago Bears GM hat. Now they're at 6. And again, who knows if this happens? I don't know if it happens. Maybe it does. But if they end up sliding down a little bit, what are their needs? They have a quarterback, which, again, this is under the assumption that they keep Justin Fields. Or maybe they actually aren't so sold on Caleb Williams. Maybe they like a quarterback a little bit down further. Maybe they trade Justin Fields a little bit later. That's the other thing that people are just assuming right now. They're assuming, because the Bears have the number one overall pick, that they're just going to presumptively take Caleb Williams. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Maybe they trade back and also trade Justin Fields. That's like, I don't think people have thought about that possibility. It would probably be a little bit crazy, but with this pick, I think that this is where they go and they take receiver.
Yeah,
I think they go receiver here. I think we go and we look at our guy, Malik Nabers. They get another guy that can make plays. And again, you're playing in the NFC North. Look at the theme of the teams that are finding success. Like, you have the Lions, who their receiving core is crazy. Their receiving core is really good. You have the Packers, who did it a little bit differently. They have a bunch of young receivers that are all studs. They didn't have to take them in the first round, but they did a really good job taking guys like Dontavian Wicks. They have, obviously, Christian Watson, who hopefully will have a bigger year next year. Romeo Dobbs. Like, they have guys that have stepped up. But I think 1-2-3 with Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers, I think we're going to get a little bit of a run here. So we look at some other guys' mock drafts across the board. You have Mel Kiper, who has, let's see, Malik Nabers going 9 to the Bears. You have Daniel Jeremiah, who has Malik Nabers going number 4 to the Cardinals. So, like, he's a consensus top 10 pick. Some people have him lower than Adunze. Some people have him higher. I think he's lower, and I think he finds that sweet spot of pick 6, goes to the Chicago Bears. They get a receiver for the quarterback. Now they have DJ Moore and a number 2 receiver that can produce, and this sends them in the right direction. Now we have the Titans. So Titans needs, according to PFF, we have wide receiver, O-line, DB. I think the Titans have a lot of problems. I think they need, if any team's going to trade back, it's them at this point. But we've already had a few trades. I think that's kind of, we had one trade so far. We might get another one here, but we know they're not going to take a quarterback. What are they thinking? I'm looking at Cooper DeJean. I like Cooper DeJean. I don't think he is going to be taken this early. We look at some of these other guys that are available. Like, you got a DN, like Dallas Turner. You got, let's see who else we got. You got offensive linemen, which obviously they need some offensive linemen. Like, offensively, I think for them, man, I think you got to go offense. I think you got to go offense, because it's like, it's tough sledding, man. Like, it's tough sledding for them right now. Again, this is a team that, like, I'm not super high on what they can do. I don't think they're ready to compete.
Yeah.
So
they seem stuck in the middle, right? Like, I don't know what your feeling is on Will Levis.
Yeah.
It seems like they're not going to go quarterback here to waste another first round pick on a quarterback. Seems a little ridiculous. Yeah. So it seems like they're going to ride out Will Levis. And if that's the case, a young quarterback, like, what do you do to support him? It seems like that's how you're thinking about this. It's a deep tackle draft. There's a kid out of Penn State, the kid out of Washington.
Yeah.
Guys that are, you know, are all kind of filing in behind Joe Alt. I don't even think Joe Alt is necessarily the consensus number one. So maybe you get a tackle here to protect your young quarterback. But yeah. I mean, this is a team, you mentioned some other guys, like they probably could just use a lot of players, and there's probably not a lot of places you can go wrong for the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at that too. I'm like, again, that's the uncomfortable part about being pick seven. It's like you have your top five ish picks, and then like offensive line, you got guys a little bit later, like projected wise. So like, I think at this point you're going to end up reaching probably at seven, no matter what, like, and I think that they're going to go, I think they got to go tackle. So the consensus here for next best tackle is, I'm not even going to butcher this, Olumuyiwa Fashanu.
Tackle, Penn Fashanu. State.
We're going to go tackle Fashanu, Penn State. I think that this is, again, like, who's right after Joe Alt? I think this is the guy. And I think it's just Titans, like, draft best available match with need. And that's unfortunate that you're in that pick seven. That's kind of what you got to do, because you don't want to reach for what you need, but you do need things. And I think that's kind of where they're going to end up. I think they're going to take a tackle. I think it's going to be him. And again, this is where teams like the Titans, where they can get better, in my opinion, is by nailing second, third, fourth, and fifth round. Like, they're, right. If you're not going to get a top five pick, go with a good pick that's a need, and then you have got to find the gems 2 through 5 if you want to be able to compete this next year or compete in the next 2 to 3 years when these guys start to become ready.
I just think from a fan perspective and how boring it is when your team is up, they have a top 10 pick, disappointing season last year, and you go second best tackle off the board. Like, and that's, again, we talk about, there's a lot of sizzle in this draft, a lot of quarterbacks, wide receivers that are getting a lot of early round attention. Maybe this kid out of Penn State goes 2, 3, 4 overall in another draft, and you just happen to get really good value. But as a fan, you're sitting there thinking, that is about the most boring thing that we could do. And especially when your team's not that exciting in the first place, you kind of just sit there and you're like, well, just trust the process, I guess. That's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd agree with that, dude. I think, again, they have so many holes. You got to go and grab like the highest floor, I would say, in a position which, first round O-lineman, second round O-lineman, they're going to be more ready to contribute than you might not get in a quarterback or a receiver. Like, I think there's just this standard of like, dude's big, he can move, he's physically gifted if he's going to be a top 10 offensive lineman. And yeah, I think for them that makes the most sense. But yeah, now we have the Falcons.
We have an interesting run of teams here. We still have Drake May on the board, and we're already down to the eighth pick. We got a little string of teams here that might need a quarterback. I mean, the Vikings at 11, Broncos 12, Raiders 13. Mm-hmm. Yep. How are we going to assume the Vikings have treated the offseason here? It seems like Kirk Cousins' momentum is picking up for the Falcons. Yeah. Do we want to operate under that assumption, or do we think they still need a quarterback here?
Yeah, we're going to operate under the assumption that Kirk Cousins goes to the Falcons. I think, again, we can't confirm that, but right now I'm going to say that the Falcons get Kirk Cousins. And I think, what do they need now, right? Like, their defense, so again, they have a defensive head coach coming in who I know will like his toys. And then you have also on the offensive side, you do have the past few drafts have gone offense, first round. So I think this is the time that they start to look the other way and say, okay, look, what do we need as maybe an edge player? Like, I don't know, a guy like Dallas Turner, who's just a complete dog from Alabama. I think they go with a guy like that. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Dallas Turner. If anybody has seen his film, if you have not seen his film, you need to go watch it. Like, I actually think he is a game changer on the defensive side of the ball. I think when you bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins at quarterback, you elevate the floor for everyone on your offensive side. So again, I know the Falcons will be looking for a receiver later. I think they will be looking for a quarterback as a backup later. I don't think they're going to go first round, because I do think they need to win now. They have the roster to win now. They don't have a few years to let a quarterback kind of figure it out. Again, assuming they get Kirk Cousins, I think that the Falcons are going to take Dallas Turner with this pick. And I know that PFF has him as ADP 13, but we have other guys. You have guys like Mel Kiper, who, let's see where he has him going. Dallas Turner, Alabama. They have doubt. He has Dallas Turner going into the Falcons, number 8. Okay, Mel, let's get it, right, Mel. And then you have, let's see, Dallas Turner 11 is what Daniel Jeremiah has him going to the Vikings. Like, people are really high on Dallas Turner, and shit, so am I. I've seen his tape, and wow, look, you got Yep, dude. You have Vinny Iyer's, another guy in that same article, having Dallas Turner go to the Falcons. I think he's the guy, man. Like, he makes the most sense, assuming they don't need a quarterback. So let's ride. Go get a game changer.
Yeah, I love that breakdown. You get a defensive coach in there. He probably wants to make a splash on his side of the ball. And it's, and I don't think that's any more true than with the Falcons, who have made constant splashes in the early rounds on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
It's probably time that they shift their attention anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. So it's, yeah, that makes the most sense for them. And I think that's like, that's the guy that to me is not a reach. He's going where he needs to go. So now we're talking about the Bears. So the Bears, their second pick at number 9. This is where, for me, I think, what do they need? So we just got a receiver. They need offensive line. They need a center. They need a D line. They need DBs. Like, there's a lot of action going on around here for this second pick for them. And I don't know, man. Like, this is, again, all under the assumption that quarterback is Justin Fields, where a lot of people think that they're going to take Caleb Williams, number 1 overall, and take a receiver with the second. So we went under the consensus that they took a receiver with the 6th pick, and now we have them at 9 sitting, not really needing a receiver. So where are some other players with value here? We have, let's see, could go offensive line. I think offensive line is always a good need. You got guys like J.C. Latham. Hopefully I said that right. J.C. Latham. Where's he at? Tackle for Alabama. He's actually consensus top 10 pick now. He's been moving up in the draft boards. You have guys like, let's see, Terrion Arnold at DB. Like, what is the Chicago Bears team look like? Their defense was pretty good. They needed some offensive weapons. They needed some offensive guys. NFC North football, like, I don't know, man. They could get a DN, Jared Verse is a stud.
Do you get more edge help there? I mean, they have a defensive coach too that maybe could want to load up that side of the ball.
Yep.
I also don't think it's crazy. I don't want to go too crazy with the trades here, but understanding there's going to be a run of teams here who might need a quarterback, maybe you see a Broncos trade up. And I don't think it's crazy to think that if the Bears have these two top 10 picks, they already used that 6th pick, which is a pretty high pick on a wide receiver. Yeah. Like, maybe they're just in the asset acquisition game right now where they want to help load up their roster later in the round. And there are still teams here that are probably looking to make a move on a quarterback, especially with Drake May still on the board.
You know, I'm with that too, actually. I like that. That's, again, these are all big assumptions. Like we said, to trade out of the number 1 overall pick to the 6th, that's a big assumption. Then to go 6 to 9, like, I think if I'm, and again, we're going to act as if I'm the Bears GM. I think I like that, actually. I think you trade out of this. I think somebody like the Broncos, or, you know, this might not be crazy. You could get somebody like the Broncos to jump up and take a Drake May. And the only reason why I think the Broncos could take a guy like Drake May, and I don't think Drake May is the third best quarterback as of today ready to play in the NFL, but if Sean Payton's doing what he does and he's saying, this is my team, we're doing it my way, I could see him taking a Drake May with the 9th pick after trading up and grooming him for a little bit. Because they also said that they'd be willing to go through the season with Jared Stidham as their starter. That just came out. So maybe you go into this situation kind of like the Chargers did a couple of years ago, where they had Tyrod Taylor as a starter, took Justin Herbert. I think they took him top 10. And they planned on having him sit, and they just were going to groom him. But then obviously the kidney thing happened, or the punctured lung happened with Tyrod Taylor. So let's make this assumption that the Broncos trade up. Again, trading with the Broncos. Broncos trade up to leapfrog the Vikings, knowing that the Vikings also are looking for a quarterback, presumably. So,
and I'm sure the Bears are happy to do that too. You know, you don't want an in-division rival to come up and get a quarterback, or even, you know, maybe the Bears don't want to make their pick, understanding they're not going to take a quarterback, and let somebody fall to the Vikings, because, you know, the Jets aren't probably going to take a quarterback in the first round.
Agreed. And again, I don't really know what, let's see, we'll say the chances of this team is, this trade is lopsided, your owner will veto it. This trade, let's see, 114, likely be accepted. 94% chance to be accepted. 73% chance to be accepted. 58. So, like, this tool does give you some strength indicators of kind of what the deal is. I could see them going 1-2-3. Kind of likely, maybe 1-2-4. Trade back three spots. Get a pick here, a pick here. Maybe a pick in the third round and of the 2025 draft. I think something like this could happen. So we're going to do this one just for shits and giggles. Bears acquire a few more picks. They move back just a little bit and they get more capital. Because I think right now, like the Bears, the more like high quality players that you can get. Ooh, not accepted. Let's do this. Not accepted?
Maybe we swap force.
Hold on.
Maybe we just force this trade through.
We're forcing this trade through, damn it. Here we go. Force trade. We're going to take it. All right. So now you're on the clock. Let's go Drake May. Let's go Drake May. And again, if Sean Payton is who he says he is, he can take Drake May, who I think is a project quarterback with a high ceiling, and get his footwork up to speed. Teach him the game. And hear me out, too. In that division, you're playing against Patrick Mahomes. You're playing against Justin Herbert. Obviously, the Raiders don't have a quarterback right now, but that kind of bigger body mold, creative, throwing the run, like that lives in that division. So maybe you go try to fight fire with fire, and if you miss, you miss. But I think we could definitely see the Broncos trade up if a guy like him falls.
I don't think it's that crazy. Yeah. I was doing some research, just mock drafts. There's a guy by the name of Trevor Seacom who seems to do them a lot on PFF, and he actually had the Broncos trading up into the number two spot to select Drake May. So Drake May ends up in Denver by different means, that's for sure, but he ends up there nonetheless.
Cool. Well, I like it then. I like it a lot. Let's keep this thing rolling, baby. Now we have the Jets. They have Garrett Wilson. They have barely any other receivers right now that are used. They have a really good running back. Tight end, I don't know. Like, I know they have Conklin. I don't know if Conklin was re-signed. I don't know what his deal is. But you look at some of these guys like Brock Bowers, who some people think is a top five pick. Some people think that he is a 10 pick to the Jets. Wow, that's so funny. Mel Kiper hasn't gone 10 to the Jets. I could see a guy who like Brock Bowers, who is like a super, like he's kind of looked at as like a Kyle Pitts type ceiling guy. Bigger guy. Let's go check his height and weight real quick. His kind of combine stats. Brock Bowers combine. All right. So, he opted out of combine workouts. He'll do them at pro day. Let's see. 6'3", 243. He's definitely like framed wise as a like receiving tight end. And yeah, man, production score 99, total score 96, athleticism score, he's up there. Comparison, George Kittle. Like, I think that this makes sense. Again, the Jets are going to get a receiver in this draft. They'd be reaching at number 10 for anybody else. I think Brock Bowers falling to them is like, that makes sense. We got to go do that. Their defense is already good. Like, Jets defense was solid this year. One of the better defenses in the league most weeks. They go get a guy that can help in the pass game, especially for someone like Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, who his accuracy makes tight ends even more elite, right? Like, you have guys like Robert Tonyan, who just exploded with Green Bay because of the things that, honestly, Aaron was able to do with the ball. And not saying anything that Robert Tonyan wasn't able to do, but he wasn't the most athletic, wasn't whatever. Right place, right time, like solid route runner. But Aaron can put the ball on people. So let's go get him a tight end that can go change games.
All right. My only pushback on that would have been, do we need a little bit more protection for Aaron? That offensive line last year wasn't too good. We already submitted the pick, but I mean, we opt for playmaker over offensive line. Like, if you're a veteran quarterback, are you leaning one way or another? I honestly would have thought maybe tackle there, but I also know that at least Packers fans complained for the last 16 years of Aaron being in Green Bay was that he never had any weapons. So maybe we go get him a top 10 weapon in the draft.
I think they go get him a weapon only because of Brock falling to them. I think that they can get tackles later. I think they can get a receiver later. Like, this is a very deep draft. And I think if you got a top 10 pick and you're able to have like a top 5 talent guy slide to you, I don't think you reach for a guy that's, in my opinion, projected to go 12, 13, 14, 15. Just the draft based on need. But yeah, that would be, at this pick, they're either going to go receiver, tight end if he falls to him, or offensive line. That's, if they do anything else other than those three, I would say that's off the mark. But here we go. Now we have the Vikings. Vikings need a quarterback, clearly. There's been some rumors that they're going to try to acquire Trey Lance this offseason, who was a former top five pick, who has barely played any football, and who they can get for pretty cheap. But we can't make that assumption knowing what they need. They need a lot of things right now. You look at their needs list, they have QB, running back, guard, center, D-line. They need a whole team. But are there quarterbacks in this spot that we feel like they're going to be willing to go and grab? I don't know. I really don't know. Let me go back real quick.
I feel like even if you bring in somebody like Trey Lance, you're still going to have to pick up somebody in the draft. Like I don't know if Trey Lance is a solution. He's probably a fun project, but I mean, you're going to throw him out there. We've never talked about your opinion, Kurt, on Trey Lance, but it seems like you throw him out there. He's still so football young. Like you hear that term football young. This kid hasn't taken many snaps and he's still, he'll have bounced around.
You can't put your whole franchise. You can't put your whole franchise as like lifeline on him, but I think he could be a nice surprise for people. So I think here, look, we've got some interesting theories here. Some of the main guys that do these mock drafts often, they have them taking an edge. They have them taking, let's see, I've seen some JJ McCarthy potentially here, who some people think will be the next one out. Jared Verse, edge. Let's see again, edge, Dallas Turner. People seem to believe that they're going to go edge here. And whether it's Jared Verse or Dallas Turner is already gone. I'm like hard pressed to believe that they're just not going to take a quarterback here. I think with the way that this draft has gone, a lot of people have other quarterbacks mocked earlier. I think the Vikings here go and take JJ McCarthy, to be honest. I think some people have JJ going top 10. I think the way that this draft is playing out and for how we're doing these, we've had some of these quarterbacks taken early, then some slid, then some runs on receivers. I think that JJ McCarthy to the Vikings makes sense here. And with all that being said, man, I think we got to do it. I think, and again, these adjusteds are not most recent adjusteds. I think this makes sense. I think the coach that they have, Kevin O'Connell, he's a really good coach, or like a detail oriented. I think he can get a guy like JJ McCarthy into his system early and playing early. And that system, again, the Kevin O'Connell system is very similar tree wise to McVay's system, to LaFleur's system, to Shanahan's system. And it caters to guys like JJ McCarthy skill set wise. So I think this is a match made in heaven. If he makes it this far, I believe that they would take him. Want to do it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. JJ McCarthy, 11 overall. Now we have the Bears. Holy, we're in uncharted waters. The Bears ended up with the 6th pick and now the 12th pick, because I believe if I'm their GM, I'm trading all of that capital. They've already done it before. So now we're sitting at the 12th pick. We know what the needs are. They've already taken Malik Nabers. Now they're not going to trade out again. I think they're going to go DB here. I think they're going to go DB here. They're either going to go DB or they're going to go edge. I could see Jared Verse here. I could see a few guys go here, to be honest. I could see a few guys. Oh, man. I think I'm looking at my list right now. Like, I know we've seen some of these DBs that are going like in the 15, 16, 17 range. I could see them reaching a little bit for a DB. I think they go edge, man. I think they go Jared Verse on the edge.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
I think they go Jared Verse on the edge. Look, they need a D-line. Let's go see a little background on Jared Verse. Let's go see what the deal is. Are you going to be able to sell me? Got an edge, 6'4", 260, 23 years old. Obviously, Florida State had a crazy year this year, even like all things considered, and he was a stud. Like he was what we call in the NFL a game wrecker, and I think you need game wreckers in the NFC North, and they're looking for him. They need him. I think they go Jared Verse. I think he ends up here. I think adjusted value-wise, people have him going 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think they go Jared Verse. So we're going to go D-end here. And so now you look at the Bears. They've gone receiver, D-end. And all of this is if I was GM, I would be keeping Justin Fields. And just want to reiterate on this point. Look at the Bears right now. Their coach, if they suck this year, their coach is gone. Without a doubt, their coach is gone. If they suck this year, their GM might be gone, right? I don't think that if I was GM, I would ever in a million years put all of my eggs into the basket of drafting a rookie quarterback to save my job. Those are like honestly what they have right now. Those are their two options. Do you draft a rookie quarterback to save your job? Or do you keep Justin Fields, who you know you can win games with, to save your job and build around him? If I'm playing for my job, if I'm GMing for my job, if I'm coaching for my job, I'm keeping the sure thing that I know, and I'm going to go get some weapons. I'm going to build around him, and I'm going to cater my offense to him entirely. I'm not going to make him be uncomfortable in the West Coast. I'm not going to do it. Like that's the way that I look at this. So again, probably not the popular consensus, but for what it's worth, those guys are coaching for their job. So go get guys that are going to elevate your entire team. Now we have the Raiders. The Raiders are in a really weird situation. They don't really have a quarterback. They have a coach who's got a lot of swag. They have pretty good receivers. They have a running back who, Josh Jacobs, free agent, reported just 3 hours ago that he has mutual interest with the Bears. He's not coming back. So they do need a running back. That's not going to happen early in this round. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. They need linebackers. They need defense, honestly. And I think when you're the Raiders, you have enough weapons on offense minus the quarterback to make something happen. You need to be able to stop the offenses you're playing against this year. And so with that in mind, like that's where I'm going to go into this pick. Like what are we dealing with here? Who are some of the top guys that we could get across the board that can elevate our team? We're going to try not to reach because I think reaching gets you in trouble. I don't know, man. I'm looking at Cooper DeJean. I'm looking at Cooper DeJean, man. And I'm like, just a white DB on the Raiders, it just could be so right. You know what I mean? Like it just could be so right. Like I could see right. The swag popping off. Like I could just, I mean, PFF has him as the 8th ranked prospect this year. Like, I mean, I could see it. What do you think? Like, what are your thoughts here?
I think they're probably got to go somewhere on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
All these corners seem to blend together for me a little bit. I haven't seen anybody pop up, you know, looking through all these mocks, you see a couple guys go at different spots. Like, I don't know if that would
it's be, gonna
be
what are they, who do they like
year. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's something neither of us can really know. Right. So maybe we just go best player available here. Somebody that's slipped down the board a little bit and, you know, lands nicely on their lap.
So let's look at some of these DBs. You got Cooper DeJean, 6'1", 207. You have Quinyon Mitchell, hopefully I said that right, 6', 196. You have Nate Wiggins, 6'2", 185. I think the length there is really enticing. I don't know where some of these mockers have Mitchell going. You got Kool-Aid McKinstry at DB. Like, let's see. DB, 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 DB. Tyrion Arnold, 15 to the Colts. Like, Nate Wiggins. Like it's a crapshoot right now after 10. And I think the Raiders are going to go trying to think of who they're playing type of play. I think they're going to go baller, bro. I think they're going to go baller. I think Cooper DeJean comes off the board. Like I really like him. I think he's a stud. He's obviously a playmaker. There's other DBs available, but I just think you're going to take who you think is the best available. And I think coming from a former player, as a coach who can relate to people, he's going to watch film a little bit differently than some of these other guys will. I know he's not the one that makes all the decisions, but I don't know. I could see him going there. So we're going to take him. We're going to take him. All right. Now you have the Saints. You need linemen. like you need linemen, whether it's offensive, defensive, you just need linemen. And I think that just is what it is. Looking at some of these guys, dude, I think that again, these names are tough this year. We have Talese Fuaga and Troy Fautanu. And let's see where, like, PFF, we have 12th ranked Fuaga. We have 13th ranked Fautanu. So 6'4", 317, 6'6", 334. I mean, all of these reports, too, from what we have, Fuaga is the better offensive lineman, like, from what we're seeing. He has the higher grades for PFF. He has the bigger frame. I think with this pick, you got to go highest ceiling, and it looks like Fuaga is the highest ceiling. So I think the Saints go Fuaga. I think they would be excited to have him. I think Derek Carr would be excited to have him. And I think that's kind of what this team needs. They need to be able to control the line of scrimmage, especially the run game, something they've had a hard time doing the past few years. So let's go. Let's see.
Don't overthink it.
That's it, dude. All right. Colts. I'm thinking defense here. I think some of these DBs look enticing.
I agree.
I also think defensive line interior. You got Byron Murphy right here sitting at 15, slides a little bit. People are pretty high on him. D-line, trying to think of who they play. You're either going to go DB or you're going to go D-line. My gut is telling me go a little bit more with the need here at DB. I'm thinking Mitchell. I'm thinking Arnold. I'm thinking Wiggins. Let's see one more time with these DBs.
And that's not crazy to think. Maybe you get a little run on the defensive backs. Yeah. DeJean comes off maybe earlier. You see across a couple different mocks that DeJean doesn't go until the 20s. And so maybe him coming off at 13 in this instance forces the hand of a couple teams to grab a guy while they're still there.
Yep. I'm 100% with you there, dude. It depends. Like, so Colts wise, we just really, what it comes down with these few different DBs is like, what's your taste? What's your style? What do you like? Like, some of these reports on these DBs. So let's go position DBs, cornerbacks. So you look at a guy like Mitchell, some of the best advanced coverage metrics PFF has ever recorded for a 2-year sample size. He has all the ability in the world as cornerback one at the next level. That sounds pretty enticing. You have Nate Wiggins, all the tools of a first round high impact corner. Athleticism will never be in question, nor competitiveness. These should give you a long-term starter. Then you have Arnold, not the most polished, but the super high percentile athletic abilities. Like, for me, what I'm looking at is I think they're going to go Mitchell. I think you get the guy that's, again, somehow has fallen to you based on adjusted rank. And again, dude, if you don't think that these coaches and all these other people are not looking at all the PFF things just like everyone else is, they're humans. They don't know everything. They're going to look for references everywhere. I think they're going to draft Mitchell. That's what I think.
What was that story that came out about the Vikings GM talked about how he used PFF in his draft process? I think he did get cooked for that, which is fair. If your job is to analyze prospects, then maybe you should be doing that on your own. I think
the analytics, the data, like,
it's true.
You can sort through things a lot faster, and
it is like a sorting mechanism.
More references. It is, dude. It is. So I know people shit on for it, but these NFL teams, dude, they pay a lot of money to have a lot of resources given to them.
Obviously that gets run with where he's drafting solely based off PFF, which is not the case. Yeah. But when we talked to Brandon Ross, the scout, he talked about how teams just have prototypes of guys that they like.
Yeah.
And so maybe that means there's a certain metric measurable that you're looking for, and you just want to do yourself the legwork of like filtering through guys that don't fit that and only giving yourself the kind of guys that do. Because we're talking about hundreds of players here, like 500 players that probably have to get looked at.
Totally, dude. I'm right there with you. Man, now we have the Seahawks. Weird, weird spot. Clearly what they need is offensive line, right? Like, they need guards, centers, they need interior linemen, and then edge rushers on the edge, on defensive edge. So, like, I'm looking at a guy like Fautanu, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's not a need. It's a good pick. But I'm looking at interior guys, Jackson Powers Johnson. I think you might be reaching slightly here, but starting caliber power, finesse traits at the center for both guard and both zone or man and gap schemes, dominant enough to be considered a top 20 talent. There's nothing like having a center for your offensive line. You look at guys across the board, like the best offensive lines in the league have a center that can get the job done. And it comes a lot from ability. It's obviously there's a lot of mental parts to it too. Centers are probably the second most mentally aware on the offensive side of the ball outside of the quarterbacks. Probably not probably, but like for sure they are. I think that a good center can help elevate the rest of the offensive line, which it's clear that the Seahawks need help with. So I think they'll address some of the other interior parts later. But to find a center that's considered a top 20 pick is, in my opinion, kind of like a rare thing. You see a lot of tackles, a lot of guards. So if you can reach high on a center and get him and hit, you could have a 10-year starter. And I think that's something that can be a consistent for them for time to come. So that's where my mind's at here.
I love it. I think we go with it. It's a need. Could be your best available if that's the guy that you like locking into the room. So
that's how you see it.
I say we go for it.
Sweet. Let's do it. All righty. Now we have the Jaguars. And if I'm the Jaguars, I'm looking at like, yeah, what do I need? But like, again, what's best available? And I'm really liking the pick value for Byron Murphy right here. I think that's a really good spot for him. Obviously, 9th rated player for PFF, gifted defensive lineman, strength and speed, versatile 3-down player, ability to rush the passer and defend the run. First round impact starter on any defensive front. So I'm going to go reference some of the other drafts that we have. Where do they have him going? We have 20 going 23. We have one of them going 13th. Like, again, these are all guys that do this all year long, are always prepping for this, and they have him going anywhere from 13 to 20 to 16. And now I think that he's going to go at 17. I think he's going to go to the Jaguars. That's what I'm looking at. I know that they need DBs. I know they need other stuff, but when you get a chance to take a guy with a high value, I think you got to go. I also think, like, yes, they could use a DB. They definitely need DBs. Pause. We're going to backtrack. We're going to take another DB. We're going to take a DB here because I do think that positional value, where guys have gone, plus who you play against in the division. You play against CJ Stroud a couple times a year. You're going to need DBs. You play against, what do you have, the Titans? I get it. Derrick Henry's gone. Might not be so run heavy. Probably going to want to open it up a little bit more. New regime. The head coach was the OC with the Bengals. They threw the ball a lot. Let's go corner. Let's go sturdy up the corner a little bit. And I guarantee you, this is how it's happening in the draft rooms. Like, it's your picks 15 through 30, picks 10 through 30. You're so dependent on what other people think about players and who they take that it's very reactionary. And I think for them, dude, I'm looking at Nate Wiggins, honestly. I'm looking at Nate Wiggins over Arnold, and I think Nate Wiggins is going to be the guy. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's best available. Like, this is the time where teams probably get in the most trouble, where you're like, hi, do we reach for need here? And I think it seems like every time I hear the really smart front offices talk about drafting, they say, let's just go get the best guy on the board and we can make it work. And I think that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, best available for the need, not like they're reaching for a guard or something that's like way down here. So let's go Nate Wiggins. All right, this makes more sense than anything. The Bengals, the division you're in, you need D-linemen. Some way, somehow, Byron Murphy slid to you. You need to stop the run. You're playing against the Ravens, the Steelers, the Browns every year. This could, like, if Byron Murphy falls to the Bengals, in my opinion, it'd be a mistake for them to not take him. So we're going to not even waste any time here. Go sturdy up that D-line. All right. Rams. You need a lot, baby. But you need an O-line. And right now you got Troy Fautanu sitting there ready for you to take. And I think this one, it's going to be Latham. I don't know which way to say it. Or Fautanu. One of those guys has got to go. We're going to go check our reports on them real quick. 6'4", 317 for Altanu. Then you have Latham, 6'6", 335, big boy. The mold of offensive lineman that does not come around often. He's only 21 years old.
Mm.
2 years of starting experience in the SEC. I think that, again, some people have him not projected to go, but I think first round, you gotta draft based on ceiling, not based on where they're coming in for some of these like offensive picks. And I'm gonna go here based on what he can be with his physical frame and who he's gonna be playing against. Rams, NFC West, go get yourself some freaks. That's what I'm looking at. So we're gonna go Latham here. And if we look back, we have, dude, I mean, some of these guys have him going 14 to the Saints, have him going five. Someone has him as a top five pick. I think it's Mel Kiper has him as a top five pick. So I'm in good company. I'm in good company there. I like it. I like the pick.
We keep finding our ways back to sort of the right pairings, it seems like, based on the people who spend all year round doing it. And
yeah, we're not doing half bad for some slaps.
It just speaks to like our comments. Like, we're not even looking at these and we're going back and checking our work, and we just talk ourselves into the, you know, the right or the consensus picks here.
Yeah, we're just common sense guys. I like it. All right. The Steelers. Good Lord knows they have a lot of needs. where do we start? I think they go back defense. I think they need to start. I think based on the offenses that they're playing against, they need to go to the defensive side. Again, taking best available, like is it this D lineman right here? Newton? Let's see. Let's go see Newton's right up. D lineman. And again, I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at these writers for the defensive guys, so I'm learning on the fly here. Let's see. Physical limitations due to size. But hand uses, pass rush tools, block shedding ability, should be very productive in any alignment. The Steelers do value versatility on the defensive side. I do think, though, that the Steelers need a DB. I think, again, we have Terry Arnold here sitting. He's a guy that I like. I think they go Arnold here, honestly. My gut's telling me they're going Arnold, so they're taking Arnold. Again, Arnold's right up. 6 foot, 196, not the most polished, but high percentile athlete. Gives them as high of a ceiling as anybody in Manor's own systems. Steelers like to run multiple types of defenses, so get them. Fit, need, guy that fell to you, boom, Pittsburgh Steeler. Dolphins, this is probably the most obvious pick. They need an offensive line badly. If Tua is going to be productive continually, they need their offensive line beefed up. We got Troy Fa'utanu. One day I'll get it right. Sitting here, again, 13th overall player, true athlete of an offensive lineman with starting caliber traits for center or guard. His movement skills would be a big plus for zone blocking schemes. Do you want to know what type of zone run game the Dolphins run? They run a lot. Or what type of run game the Dolphins run? A lot of zone. They run a lot of zone schemes.
Yeah.
And they stretch the field horizontally more than anybody in the league, I believe. So this would be a match made in heaven. If he falls to them, again, which for him, Troy, we have Mel Kiper has him going 16 to Seattle. Daniel Jeremiah has him going 20th to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So right in line. Let's go get him. Big dog, welcome to Miami. All right. Now we have the Eagles. The Eagles. They need skill players in the secondary. They need linebackers. They need to be able to match up with receivers. And this is tough for me. These picks are going to be really hard. Don't get me wrong, dude. I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy. I'm going to say it, and Eagles fans might hate me. I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy. I'm not going to say that they're going to take a quarterback because they shouldn't, because they're, quote, ready to compete now.
Right.
But do not be shocked if they draft a quarterback at some point in this draft. I'm just saying that. That's all I'm going to say.
Even when Tom Brady was cooking, the Patriots took a quarterback every year in the draft.
Every year, dude, they were trying to groom him and trade him. Like, I mean, dude, if I'm the Eagles, there's one guy that I'm like, actually, like, hold up. I think Bo Nix could actually play. I'm going to say it right now. I think Bo Nix can play. I don't think they're going to take him, but I could imagine Bo Nix throwing to Devonta Smith, AJ Brown, like Dallas Goedert. I could see it happening, and I'm not going to say they would now, but a guy like that with those receivers, that's just like a dish it guy, like a point guard. The Eagles need Jalen Hurts to be more of a point guard this year. That's all I'm going to say, but we're not going to go that. We're going to say that they're sticking with him. Just when we come a few years from now and things come to fruition, you can look back at this mock draft and say, what if they have but we're gonna go look at the defensive side of the ball here for the Eagles, and we're looking at DB. Again, we're talking best available. We're looking at edge right here. I'm looking at you, big dog. Let's see what else we got. We're looking at edge. Where you at, Chop? Where's Chop Robinson? Where is he?
He's passing up a little bit.
Fast. I did.
Yeah.
Close.
Stop.
There we go. Like, I think that's going to be a reach a little bit here. I think they go. I know we just had a run on DB, so it feels like they're kind of missing a little bit. They also need a receiver. Maybe another guy that I love. I really love Brian Thomas, like, a lot. I think Brian Thomas is a stud. I think Malik Nabers kind of name-wise took some of the show away from him, but I could see them going here. A guy that I'm also really high on, I love Peyton Wilson, dude. I think Peyton Wilson is not a reach for this pick. I think he could be a stud for them. I think Latu could be a stud for them. Like, I think the Eagles, dude, if I'm looking at this, I'm thinking Latu, Newbin, Wilson, Thomas. That's what I'm thinking for the Eagles. And something just tells me, dude, Peyton Wilson's going to be a late climber. You heard it here first. You heard it here on Pocket Presence. Peyton Wilson's going to be a late climber. I have him 22 going to the Eagles in this version of the draft. I like what I see on tape. And I think something that the Eagles value is, like, they clearly value player leadership. They value, like, impact players that can, like, elevate people around him. And when I watch Peyton Wilson, I see a guy that can elevate people around him. And to have that at the linebacker position, I think is a big deal. It's clearly a need for them. I don't think this is reach. We're going to go take them. Let's do it. All right. Houston Texans. You have Nico Collins. You have Tank Dell coming off of injury. You have your tight end you just re-signed. No longer elite. A need. Defensive side of the ball, defensive head coach. I think there's going to be some value to be had there. This is where I'm thinking, like, do we go get an edge? Like, do we get an edge? Do we beef up the interior? Like, what are we thinking here? We have some people thinking that they're going to trade. One second. No, they've already traded. We have some people thinking that they're going to take a tackle. Like, I think that the Texans can't really go wrong with what they have, because they were able to make a run with young guys. Like, they're in a good spot to really take best available and whoever they want. And from my perspective, like, I'm looking at Newton, man. I'm looking at Newton, and I'm like, could be nice to have another D lineman. Let's see.
Big boy on the interior.
Yep. Like, people have him going 17 to the Jaguars. People have him going, let's see. I'm thinking, like, this pick matters to me.
You want to get this one right?
Matters to me, man. Yeah, this pick matters to me. Could you imagine? Like, I'm also like, dude, Texans could get. They could get a receiver here, man. Like, I really...
Don't you feel good about their receiver room already? Like,
I do, but I also am like, what if they got a Brian Thomas? Do I think they take him? No. All right, you know, we're going to go Newton. Let's go check his... one second. Tackles. Sorry, interior. Let's go check Newton. So, Newton sits at 6'2", 295. Physical limitations, but natural flexibility. hand uses, pass rush tools, block shedding ability allowed him to be very productive. I just like, then you got a guy like Braden Fisk, who's 43rd ranked, 6'5", 300, 4'3 defensive tackle. Like they're a 4'3 based team. I don't know, man. I don't see his scheme fit there. I'm not buying it. I can't buy the scheme fit. Can't take him. We're going to go out on a limb here. My gut is either telling me to take, we're either going to take an offensive lineman or we're going to take Brian Thomas. So let's go look at names here. Tackles. Here we go. Mims, dude. 6'7", 340.
That's a beast. Not
polished. A level below former teammate and first round pick Broderick Jones, but he has sky high potential. Needs some developing, but trench players like him don't make it out of the top 50. And then you have Barton, 6'5", 314. Tough, well-moving lineman, strong hands, mean strike in the run game. His best position is likely center. Ah, dude. I mean, I could see Mims going right here, right now. 6'7", 340. You want to lock down a side for CJ Stroud, coach him up a little bit, get some help by the scheme. Let's go Mims, dude. Let's go Mims. This makes sense. Let's go Mims.
Young team. I like that pick. Willing to bring him along anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Good fit. Let's go. Let's go, Mims.
Wow.
Now, Cowboys, what do you have? What do you need? I think the Cowboys are ready for a wide receiver two to CeeDee Lamb.
I like that. I agree.
I could see Brian Thomas fitting in really well there. I mean, I could see Mitchell fitting in well with his blazing speed. I mean, CD is going to get a lot of double coverage. Like they're going to have to adjust. Teams are going to have to adjust. Like, I think the Cowboys O-line is really good. They need some defensive help, but like I could see them going edge here. I could see them going receiver. I kind of think Brian Thomas, dude. Brian Thomas is jumping out to me right now. What do you think? I think Brian Thomas.
Okay. Brian Thomas, a bigger body, 6'4", yep. 205. I don't know how you look to pair receivers. You also have a Ladd McConkey in there.
Yep.
And although it's a hilarious name, 6 foot, kind of this like Z type guy, like a, you know, a slot type guy.
Like slot F, yeah. Like and that's the thing is like they use CeeDee Lamb so much in the slot. They move him all around that I think they need a true X. Okay. And I think Brian Thomas can be that true X for them at 6'4", 205. And again, like, what do these other teams have going, or what do these other guys have going? They have them going offensive tackle. They have them going, let's see. Some people have them trading out of this spot, grabbing a tackle. For some reason, some people think they're going to go offensive line, but I don't know, man. Like, I could see them. They're either going to go offensive line or they're going to go receiver. And I think if they go a line, they're going to go probably Barton. They might go Guyton. I don't know, man. I look at Brian Thomas. I'm like, damn, this offense is already explosive. They could use an X. They can use an X. So let's go Brian Thomas, dude. I think Brian Thomas is going to be a stud in the league. Let's do it.
Pairing with CeeDee Lamb. Got a big body on the outside, allows CD to move around a little bit.
And you look at the Eagles, man. They have Devonta Smith and AJ Brown. Like, they got a good pairing. You got like, it's really about the pairings. And I know that they had like a solid run at offense last year, but the other guys are getting older. CD's young. Go match him with another guy that can have a little dynamic duo for a while and get things rolling. So now you're looking at the Green Bay Packers. There's one thing that's jumping out to me right now, one position. And if they do not address it, you got a guy?
I see a guy. My alma mater, actually, which would be the perfect pairing.
Dude, I watched his film, and he's a stud. He's a ball hawk. Let's go jump into it.
I think Minnesota's kind of safe to you. It's exactly what I was talking about. Unfortunately, Antoine Winfield Jr. franchise tagged by the Bucs. So let's just go get a younger version of Antoine Winfield Jr. from the same school.
And look at this. Athleticism, football IQ, run defense potential, NFC North, you need it. versatile, impactful in a scheme. Like this to me, like go get your Harrison Smith. You know what I mean? Go get that guy that can have a lot of success for a long time and is not afraid to come up and fill. Good frame, 6'2". I think this would be a match made in heaven for them. So let's go Tyler Newbin to the Packers. Packers fans, you will be very happy with him. If you have not watched his film, if he's available, don't be shocked if they take him. That's all I'll say.
Love it.
All right. Now we got the Bucks. I'm looking at edge here, dude. I think the Bucks need to get back to having some dominance on defense. I'm looking at Latu. I think Latu is going to be their guy. I think they'd be reaching for any of these other guys. Not offensive line necessarily, but I think Latu is kind of this guy that's sitting here that makes the most sense to me. Again, we can go look at his profile. Let's go D end, edge defenders. He's PF ranked 20, 6'5", 265. His home is in the offensive backfield due to his hand usage and pass rush moves that will continue to win at the NFL level. Number one season grade edge, 96.3. That's disgusting. He had a really good year. And I think that that's the type of pick at 26 that you got to be happy with. Guy slides and falls down you a little bit. Let's go take him. All right, Cardinals. You took Joe Alt with the fourth in this mock draft. Let's go see what we got at receiver. I think the Cardinals, again, they need a receiver. They need offensive linemen. I could see them going back-to-back O-line, to be honest. Like, this, honestly, really? this is what makes this – this would be really sweet for them. I think Kyler Murray would be very happy with this. You grab a guy like Barton. Let's see. Barton, 6'5", 314. Let's see. Trends, analysis. Look, trends. Oh, you can see most drafted. Most drafted by these teams is probably a good look. Let's see. First look. Tough, well-moved lineman. Strong hands, mean strike in the run game. Best position is at center. Starting caliber traits there. So not just a tackle. Like, not just a tackle. Can play all over. And I think when you're taking in a lineman with another pick, you don't – that's what you're looking for. Raw in how to win with his technique and position, but there aren't many offensive linemen who have better athletic mold. 6'7", 327, 29th on the big board. Like, in that division, bro, you've got to handle up front. I think they're going to go Barton. I think if Barton's here, they would take him. I think if he's here, they would take him. So that's what I'm thinking right now. I'm thinking
two O-linemen. And I think this is like, they don't fall into the trap of getting a wide receiver when they don't necessarily need to get one. You're back
this deep
with
of a draft.
Exactly.
Yep. So look at the Packers, man. Take best available. You can get receivers third, fourth, fifth undrafted if you have a good eye for it. Like, if there's an absolute star studded talent, take him. But right here, take Barton. Let's go. Now we're looking at you, Bills. There's some blatant things that we need to address. Receiver. Offensive lineman. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And I think there's two ways you can look at it. You can go grab a receiver that can elevate and excite your franchise after one of the most disappointing playoff losses of your existence last year.
Which is saying a lot for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
Yeah, you've had a few of those. Or you can go get a tackle, which you do need some offensive linemen. So at this point, I'm like, look, do we take a guy like Guyton, who's got that super high ceiling, or do we go try to get a dog at receiver? And at this point, it's like, okay, pick who you like at receiver. What are we thinking? We got some people think that Keon Coleman is this guy. Some people think that Mitchell's this guy. Some people think that the other Texas receiver who just ran a 4.21, Xavier Worthy, is that guy. And so what I'm going to say here is, look, there's two ways to go about it. Are you going to take a guy that's going to help your line right now? Guyton, it's a need. He's right on par with where he needs to go. Or are you going to take a guy like Mitchell, who is 6'4", 200 pounds? Or I really, really like Keon Coleman, dude. Or, yeah, Keon, right? Where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Where is he at? Where are you at, Coleman? Yeah, Keon Coleman. 6'4", 215. And you got to think of it this way. Like, you play in Buffalo. Like, big, cold-weather receivers. Durability, like, what are we thinking? I think the Bills are going to disappoint the franchise and go tackle.
I don't know if that's a disappointing move here. I mean, you just talked through like four wide receivers that aren't supposed to go for another 20 picks. So what's the point of them wasting a first round pick on them when there's a guy that has a high ceiling like Guyton? Obviously not a sure thing. None of these guys are, but he's like one of these last top rated offensive linemen. I think you got to go for it. Like it's
6'7", 327. Yeah. They got to take him. They got to
protect
take
your
him.
Asset, right? Protect your protect big your asset, asset, which is Josh Allen at this point.
Yep. And also, like, look, you look at some of his grades, maybe not the greatest, but like the talent is clearly there. Again, you see the teams projected to go to. Like, coach him up. Also, Josh Allen gives you a little more leeway with the style of football that he plays. So go draft you a tackle with a high ceiling. All right, now we got the Lions, dude. Guard, center, D-line, corner. I think the Lions here have got to be thinking defense. Like, they've got to be thinking defense. I think they need to find a way to stop the run. I think they need to find a way to stop the pass game. Their defense was abysmal. And I think here it's – I think you have to go secondary. They were so ripped up in the pass game this past year. Like, I know we have a D tackle that's sitting there, but he's been slipping on a lot of draft boards. I think you go corner here. And I'm looking at guys like Kool-Aid McKinstry. Some people have him going pretty high. Let's see. Yeah, look, adjusted ADP 25.3. We've had some run on DBs here. Let's go see. Some people have them taking a guard.
I'm seeing edge even.
Yeah, edge even.
Yeah.
So, oh man, are you not going to let me? There we go. So, all that considered, did they go take a Bama prospect? Did they go take Isaac, who I've seen mocked in the first round? Like, man, I don't know. I think the way that they play, let's go read the write-up. First look, background and build, give them a high floor, scheme versatile, worthy of an early day two pick as a starting role. Like, I know you don't want to reach. Like, I don't want to reach for a day two pick potential, but if you have needs, like, most drafted by the Lions, no way. Look at that, dude. We're going to take him. We're going to take him. We're going to listen to the public consensus. We're going to take him. Yep, we're going to take him. It's a need. It's a fit. Let's ride. All right, now Ravens. Go get you a receiver for Lamar, please, for the love of God. Go get you a receiver. Troy Franklin, I'm looking at you. 6'3", 187. Dog. Mitchell, I'm looking at you. 6'4", 196. Like, you play in cold weather. You play in those types of games. I know McConkey's here. They already have Zay Flowers. He's not a good scheme fit right now. Like, I think that the Ravens need to go receiver. And I think that as of right now, I could see them taking Keon Coleman, man. No lie. I think Keon Coleman's going to be a late riser.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I could see Keon Coleman. Dude, hear me out. The Ravens are going to take Keon Coleman. He's going to be the next one off the board. He is a guy that
has been
driving up boards, dude. Like, yeah, they're going to take him. They're going to take him because I think the Chiefs are going to take a receiver. I think Keon's that guy. We're going to take him. All right, now the 49ers. You would be remiss to think they're not going to try to go O-line here. But again, they might be reaching for some guys. And I think that the reach strategy, good teams don't do. They need DBs. Like, this could be taking Alabama prospect, Kool-Aid McKinstry. One of the most difficult positions in the game. Might not be the athlete. Smartest cornerback prospects you'll find. Shanahan appreciates that. I think we're going to go McKinstry here.
Okay.
I think we're going to go McKinstry here. That or they're going to take an offensive lineman.
Not a ton of great ones on the board.
Let's see. Interior lineman. Yeah, I just don't see them reaching, dude. So we're going to go best DB available. 6'2", 200. I think we're going to go McKinstry. I think we're going to go McKinstry. Yep, we're going to go McKinstry. 80, yep, we're going to go McKinstry. And then last but not least, we're going to go Chiefs. And I think the Chiefs would be so wrong to not take a receiver for Patrick Mahomes. And I think the way that he plays, like you got Mitchell. Let's see. Fluidity makes him a tough matchup, especially in the red zone. Wished he attacked the ball more when it was in the air. Fringe wide receiver one, wide receiver two. Let's go to all receivers. Dude, this could be Xavier Worthy.
This could be the Xavier Worthy pick.
It could. They got Hardman still. Like I still think he's a reach just because he was fast. I don't think that's going to make.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy Reid's going to fall for it.
You look at the list of all the fast players in the history of the combine, and it's about nobody you recognize because it's just not necessarily a transferable skill.
Dude, hear me out. Vertical off. I could see Troy Franklin going. I could see Mitchell going. I think cold weather games. I think Mitchell's going to be the next one, dude. I actually really like McMillan. He was pretty good this year, but not for this pick. Give me Mitchell, dude. Big target, 6'4", 196. I think that's what we're going to go. We're going to go Mitchell. The Chiefs are going to take another receiver or take a receiver. And this is going to be the first round, dude. This is our first round of if I am the Chicago Bears GM and I'm trading away the first pick. We got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison. Then we got Joe Alt, Adunze, Neighbors. I'm not going to even try, but Fashanu. Dallas Turner, Edge going to the Falcons. The Broncos trading up for Drake May. Brock Bowers going to the Jets. J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings. We got Jared Verse going to Chicago. Cooper DeJean going to the Raiders. Fuwagu. Mitchell. Mitchell is a really good pick for the Colts. We got our center being locked down with the Seahawks. Nate Wiggins, DB for the Jaguars. Byron Murphy. Steele. Perfect pairing for the Bengals. You got a little Alabama run with Latham and Arnold. Yeah, man. Peyton Wilson. Love this pick for the Eagles if they're able to get him. Fatanu, again, Dolphins securing that tackle position. Another sleeper pick right here. Brian Thomas Jr. going to the Cowboys. Newbin, match made in heaven for the Packers. Yeah, man, I like this. I like this a lot. Bills getting Guyton. Keon Coleman to the Ravens. McKinstry, Mitchell. I like it. That was fun, dude. That was a long episode, but I felt like we were so locked in, dude.
Yeah. You got to give each team some love. I mean, like like we said at the beginning, for each fan base, there's a lot of hope riding on this.
Dude.
This is everything. And so you want to give each team a little love.
Yep. We made it happen. Well, until next time, that's our first ever mock draft done on Pocket Presence. Again, maybe we'll do another one depending on how things go. But in my opinion, the Bears got to trade that number one overall pick, dude. That's where it all starts. And like, everything's riding on what do they do with that number one pick? Who gets what? Who goes where? Like, it's crazy how much, like, you're at the will of people and their decisions when you're past that 2, 3, 4 pick.
It seems like that run of quarterback really changes if the Bears trade out, obviously. Because then there's one last team that needs a quarterback, but then you might see Drake May fall. Then maybe you don't have a Bo Nix go in the first round. Then where does J.J. McCarthy go? I think there's an argument that McCarthy could get picked over May based on how teams feel about it. It's like these dominoes fall like crazy. And interestingly enough, it kind of all starts with Kirk Cousins. Like, free agency kicks off here in less than a week. Wherever Kirk Cousins goes, that's like the first domino to fall. And then I think we'll have a lot clearer picture of where everybody's going to shake out after he decides where he might want to go.
100%, dude. Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, what happens? Do the Bears... Like, another thing, everyone talked about the Bears. Like, if they were going to trade him, they were going to do it already. You know what I mean? Like, people were like, that was kind of the consensus. Like, they were going to trade him around combine time to start getting the things to fall. So it's like, are they gonna? We don't know. And just last thing we'll leave you with, the GM and the head coach of the Bears are fighting for their jobs this year. Are they going to be willing to leave it up in the hands of a rookie quarterback to save their jobs? We'll find out. Until next time, we'll catch you guys.